You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with the monthly wrap-up. Remember us? Remember this? We had a weekly wrap-up during the Survivor offseason. Survivor came back. We said, hold on, why don't we try this out on a monthly edition? And that's what we're here to do, to talk about the best of March here on RHAP, where we will be listening to the clips you, the listeners, submitted here. And some of the podcast hosts submitted for the best stuff on RHAP here in the month of March. And let me bring in the man who produces the monthly wrap-up. He's the production coordinator of RHAP, and he's pulled all of these clips. Please welcome back Sam Moore. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. How's it going?
Sam, did you get any April Fool's jokes pulled on you?
Not yet. Day still young. Let's see how things end.
Okay. All right. Well,
I did get pranked earlier this month on the 5 for 5 for any patrons that listen to that. That one really got me. So hopefully
prank phone call. Yeah.
It really freaked me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope that everybody listening is able to steer clear of any April Fool's jokes, because they're not always fun.
No, and I know it's one of your favorite holidays.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. We don't need to go into like a whole Danny Bryson rant about the whole thing with April Fools. But here we are. We're here to talk about March. It was a busy month here in March. We're going to hear a lot about the brand new season of Survivor, which everybody so far is loving, Survivor 42. We have some fun moments from that, plus a bunch of the other stuff that we've been doing, both on Rob as a Podcast and on the reality TV wrap-up. So one thing that we did this month was that we did update the subscribe page, that whatever podcast you want to listen to, you can head on over to robasawebsite.com/subscribe, where we make it so easy for you to subscribe to Rob as a Podcast, reality TV wrap-ups, and then all the individual show feeds all in one place. That's at robasawebsite.com/subscribe, which opens up links for Apple Podcasts and Spotify for all of the different shows that you may follow. All right, Sam, how are you feeling about Survivor 42?
I'm really enjoying it. I think it's been a fun few weeks so far. Really great cast. The twists haven't gotten in the way too much yet. And when they have, it's been fun.
Okay. Well, we got everything started here for this brand new season of Survivor. It was back on March 9th of 2022 when Stephen Fishback and I got to talk about it on the first Know-It-Alls of Survivor 42. And we talked about a brand new twist of Survivor, which was the Amulet Advantage. And part of this brand new twist was that players had to disguise their intentions of what was taking them so long when Drea, Hai, and Lindsay had the opportunity to cover themselves in both mud and fake blood. And here is Stephen and I reacting to that from the premiere edition of the Survivor 42 Know-It-Alls.
We talked about the immunity amulet, but I thought that one of my favorite parts of the episode tonight was the way that they executed the immunity amulet, where we had the three players who, okay, wait for the other players to get here and now decide, okay, are you going to, I didn't really understand what was going on with untying knots. If you could do that, if you wanted to.
You had to like, do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That also was not really a decision. Like no one is saying, right. No, we're not going right. for the advantage in front of us.
So the part that I thought was so hilarious where you're going to be gone for a long time to talk this through. Here's a bowl of mud and here's a bowl of blood.
Blood. And they're like, oh, you got to put the blood on. Of course, the blood. Like when do, and does anyone come back from a Survivor challenge covered in blood?
Where?
And then like the best part was for me was like Lydia being like, oh my God, they're covered in blood. You know, she had like multiple lines about how they were all bleeding profusely. And like, I actually thought that maybe she was going to like sniff out the deception because she was like, wait a second. He doesn't have any wounds on his body. Where was like this like mountain of blood coming?
Yeah,
from?
I think that the blood was blood. A trap from Survivor because there's no way contestants are running a Survivor challenge and come out like covered in blood. That Jeff's like, medical, get in here quick. These contestants have lacerations all over their body.
I mean, Lydia definitely had to ask Kai about it afterwards, right? Like, she had to be like, oh, where did all that blood come from? And I'm like, I scratched myself and I guess it got like really bloody. Like, what's he going to say? There's no giant wound on his body.
Yeah. Why are you covered in blood?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. That was wild. Yeah, that was great. Funny. Kudos for that because that was that was incredible. Sam, can you think of any good April Fool's pranks that you could be doing with some fake blood?
Oh, no.
No.
I'm not good at improv.
Okay. All right.
I'd be so bad on Survivor. And this is just one of the many, many reasons. I'd be like, fake blood. I would definitely just do like the little cut on my arm or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't want to get all dressed in the blood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. All right, so keep an eye out for any fake blood pranks, especially if you're friends with Hi this April Fool's Day. So we got to then, in the very first week of the Survivor Feedback Show, we had our great friend Chappelle back with us to talk about everything that's going on the feedback shows. I like to talk about the Survivor social media. This is a fun cast. They're active on social media. And so we have been talking about a lot of the tweets in the feedback show. By the way, we drop that feedback show early access, ad free for the patrons every single week. If you are interested in that, we got to talking about the Twitter of one of the most electric survivors on social media these days. That was Lydia. And Lydia turned a lot of heads with some tweets she made early this season. And Chappelle and I were discussing one of those tweets in particular back on the episode one feedback show back on March 12th, 2022. Lydia is on Twitter.
Yes. And is Lydia a good follow on Twitter?
We can investigate a little bit here, because a lot of people, Gabby referenced this as well, but, this was probably the most viral tweet in all of Survivor Twitter this week. Lydia at Lydia _ Meredith. She goes by the handle Lydia Chlamydia.
Okay.
Okay.
Is she okay? Yeah.
Lydia Chlamydia says, I actually think I have the biggest, fattest, juiciest ass in # Survivor history.
Oh, okay. That's a thought to have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Lydia was just talking, or do you think like Lydia has done the research? Like, has Lydia combed through the archives of Survivor history and like really examined some of these asses?
Do you think that Mike Bloom needs to start to put in the legwork for the outwit out play out list of Survivor's biggest, fattiest, juiciest ass?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me if Mike Bloom had the biggest, fattiest, juiciest ass in podcasting.
I think not.
You don't think so? You're not caked up?
I don't think so. I mean,
mean to tell me,
yeah,
that Mike Bloom is not double cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon? I just refuse to believe it.
I've met him in person, and
mm-hmm. What's that ass like?
Yeah. Well, I would say,
do that ass sit, Rob?
Does it sit right? Yeah.
Is it sitting, Rob?
I don't think that is his number one feature.
I, on the other hand, was a man whore.
I mean,
that ass fat. Then I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I think that I personally, I don't have to know if Mike Bloom has the fattest, juiciest ass in Survivor history. Yeah. But you know, does it sit? That's the question. Mm-hmm. If it be sitting, then you got to give it credit where it's due. I think Lydia is being kind to themselves. You know, I don't know this. I was not checking out Lydia's quote unquote biggest, fattest, juiciest ass. Mm-hmm. But I think if there was a ranking done, I wouldn't be involved in it. But I also don't think Lydia would probably crack the top one or two. Maybe they're top five or something. I don't know.
Top
I haven't
five.
Done the research.
That's pretty good.
Maybe. But, I feel like they're going very high, so I'm just going to cautiously aim lower, and I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle. But again, I have no insight into that at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we get any updates on this ranking.
Rob, have you considered stealing Lydia's tweet?
And I should say that I am the BFJ.
The BFJ ass. In podcast history, I think you should just throw down the gauntlet, make Mike Bloom call your bluff. if you claim it first, Mike Bloom can't have it. Y'all both can't have the biggest, fattest, juiciest ass in podcasting. So who is it?
I don't know.
Who is it? Rob, you tell me.
I don't think I want that smoke. The people that are saying that they have it. I don't. That's not me.
Yeah, then y'all have a BFJ off. You know, you gotta battle it out. The Brent Steele of biggest, fattest, juiciest asses in Survivor or podcasting. Survivor podcasting, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, this is something that if you're gonna explore it, I don't want to be involved.
You
want to see the results.
You don't? I thought that this was gonna be you were the judge.
No. I will determine if it is a valid critique. If you tell me and this is the results, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe
eyeball emoji. Right. I don't know if Mike Bloom has commented on whether or not that would be an outwit, outplayout list for coming up into the Survivor offseason.
I don't know if he's commented, but I feel like it's a slam dunk and I'll probably do it. So, look at everything he said yes to. Is he really going to say no to that?
All right. Well, we have another clip from the first week of this Survivor season. And this one comes to us from the Why Blank Lost podcast with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. Now, some of these clips come in from that they get requested. And sometimes we ask the podcast host, hey, do you have anything? David Bloomberg said, this is the clip. This is the moment. I know a lot of people liked it when David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis had David Voce and Tiffany Seely on the first episode of the Why Blank Lost podcast. So of the many moments to choose from, David says, this is it. I present to you David Voce, Tiffany, David Bloomberg, and Jessica Lewis from the premiere edition of Why Blank Lost.
It's 16.7, Tiffany.
Isn't it 16.666?
Which is seven.
Yeah, but it's which is
No.
Oh my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the teacher of our kids.
11. 11.
Another low blow.
It's been happening all day. It's been happening all day.
I know. He's so suave about it. He's
so rude.
This is our teacher of our children.
You think he's suave? Really? Suave, he wouldn't have gotten voted off. He was so in your face about it. Well, Tiffany was like Free Willy out there, like a beached whale jerk.
I only said that to the cameras.
Yeah, and then when we got home, he was like, they're going to say it. They're going to say it. I'm like, great.
You didn't say that about her.
Yes, he did. He called me a beached whale. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. I hope you all hear that. Please air that.
Time out.
Do not cut.
I do not remember.
No, you didn't hear it. They cut it. They cut it. They cut it. They cut it. He said it.
I never saw that.
No, you didn't see it.
Yeah. No, but you then told her you
said
that?
So there's no evidence.
Yes.
There's no evidence.
Wait a minute. Jessica, it gets better. This is going to be the best podcast right now.
Bloomberg, you got to cut this out.
No,
what
we're not.
Happened?
We're not. So when we get home from the island, Voce is like, listen, I have to tell you, I might have called you a beached whale out there and I feel really bad. Okay, wait, this is the best part. I was like, all right, whatever. I called myself Free Willy, but they never put it up anyway. So I don't care because I really don't give a shit. But anyway, so he's like, I was like, that is real. I'm glad I voted you out, jerk. Anyway, so this is the really bad part. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Once he saw the episode, he quote unquote felt so bad for me. So he calls me and he says, Tiff, I just want to say I'm so sorry that I called you a beached whale because you really did look like a beached whale.
A beached whale?
Yeah, and he felt so bad because I actually did look like a beached whale.
Are you talking about on the beam? She looks like a beached whale.
Yes. Jessica.
She kind of like rolled off the beach into the water like a dead beach whale.
She looks like a beautiful woman who was working incredibly hard to get across a beam. And you call her a beach whale?
Jessica, no. And the worst part is his apology was, I'm sorry, because you actually look like a beach whale.
Okay.
And I said to him, I was on a chicken line getting fried chicken for my kids. And I said, I started hysterically laughing. I'm like, are you freaking, I used the F word. Poche, that is why you're voted off the island. In your brain is that okay?
Can I just ask you, like, what is your relationship status right now, Voce?
Single.
You might want to work on your
everything
approach when you are interacting with a woman.
Have you ever?
But now Tiffany is leaving her.
You don't apologize to her and be like, "I'm sorry because you actually look like a
Jessica." I had to explain.
Cut it off before you get that far.
I had to explain to him why that was wrong. I was like, Voce, you know why that... Then he starts laughing. He's like, wait a minute. That was bad, right?
I'm
like,
that's so bad. Bad.
You think?
I mean, it's fine that you were like, you know, I'm going to take the high road.
I feel so bad.
I'm like, listen, I feel bad. I said this about you, and I'm so sorry.
But I feel bad.
Then call her and go, I was right about what I said because it looked like a beach whale. Like, you don't do that. Jesus,
so at that point I was like, yeah, so I'm going to just go drown myself in some fried chicken right now because that was hardly an apology. In fact, that was worse than what you said.
That's like an I'm right about what I said.
He's
like,
brutal.
I'm so sorry. That's how you look, but that's how you look.
So now you're going to learn about Voce. His apologies are veiled.
I'm on this now. Yep. I'm on to you, Voce.
His apologies are veiled in more harm.
Hey, David, you were right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that. She did not look like a beached whale.
Thanks, Jessica. Oh, jerk. Lord. It's a good thing I'm so cute right now.
Unbelievable.
No, you don't love me. You don't love me because if you loved me, you never would have said that.
You can hear Why Blank Lost every week in our Survivor podcast feed, along with the Survivor B&B, which had a great moment back in episode number 2 of this Survivor season, Sam. This time out, Jordan has a bunch of new games for Mike and Liana, but they get started talking about some new nicknames for Jordan and how Jordan's signature catchphrase has become a staple in Liana's family. On week 2 of the B&B back from March 23rd, 2022.
We're bringing on somebody this week who is an expert on balls, a sports connoisseur himself, someone who may coach his students as well. Whether or not he describes soccer as a sport or not remains to be seen, but very happy to be welcoming back Jordan Kalish to the B&B. Jordan, how are you?
Yes, thanks for having me. As you have just pointed out, I am somewhat of a ball monger. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have wanted to say that, but I did. And that's how we're starting this podcast.
I mean, listen, you keep giving yourself the nicknames. I think ball mongering Kalish might be something we can add to the list now.
Yes, we finally have another Lydia on Survivor. So I think I just have monger in my brain because of fishmonger Lydia. So
yeah. I like Jordan Ballmonger Kalish, I think, as a nickname. Jordan, which actually, so Jordan, I'm happy that you're here. So first of all, I am wearing my Seeds Baby hoodie.
Nice. Can I ask how much in the Boris Zamvakili household, like what percentage of your wardrobe is RHAP merchandise?
Ooh, I don't want to answer that. Well, actually,
what percentage is Seeds Baby merchandise?
So. Okay, yeah. Well, okay. So I would say for me, it's less. For Puya, it's like the majority of his hoodies are all like either Puya merch or RHAP merch, something like that. So I'm going to go with like collectively maybe like 30% like total of our clothes, which if you think about it is quite a bit. But anyway, so Jordan, so the story I have to tell you is my sister is growing sprouts in a jar. Sprouts, and she was like, they're super cool. Okay. So they're super cool. And she was like, I'm going to send you your own so you can grow some. And when she sent me the seeds, the Amazon note like said Seeds Baby. And then in the email she sent me, it said Sprouts Baby.
Oh my God.
And my sister does not watch Survivor. I don't even think she does not listen to this podcast, but it has permeated into my family's lexicon.
Were you just wearing the sweatshirt around her or something?
I'm
assuming 30% of the time you're going to be wearing it.
I'm very happy I have played such a role in your family life, Liana, where not only are you saying Seeds Baby, not only is Puya saying Seeds Baby, all of the Borises are Seeds Babies.
Right. Yeah. So when I harvest my sprouts today, I will eat them and think of you, yay, Mr. Ballmonger.
Hey, are they in the Tupperware? Do you put it in the fridge?
They're in a jar right now, so not a shaking Tupperware yet. And they're, you know, they're soft, so they're not going
to
make
the same
sound.
You're probably not supposed to shake them, right?
I'll put them. I can put them on a bagel, though, so it's definitely doable.
You don't
want to
give them.
Would you want to though?
I think you could put sprouts in a bagel.
What about it, like in the schmear? You put it in the cream cheese, and then you have like a cream cheese sprout spread. Sprouts and seeds.
Sprouts and seeds.
I'm so high. We're probably making so many people hungry if they're taking on the Survivor 42 diet and like not eating anything before coming onto this podcast. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the cream cheese is not vegan. So
I think the sprouts.
He could eat the sprouts.
He could eat the sprouts. He could have the sprouts. We could have a vegan cream cheese that we sell, like when the three of us go into business together and we start selling bagels.
I mean, it's
and
the B&B, Bloom and Boris and Ballmonger. That's the natural trio that we got right now.
Yes. Many highlights on Jordan's last time out on the B&B, including the famous Chet or Sabai game that everybody loved, Sam. Jordan Kalish.
I talked to you. I talked to Liana. I talked to Mike. What are we doing here? What was that game? That game got me so upset. I hope Jordan's on next season as well. But come on, Jordan.
All right. I got one more Survivor clip to play for you. This comes from the feedback show that I did last weekend, where I had the great Gandia, as she lower thirded herself on StreamYard, Gandia, Queen of Thailand, joined me on the feedback show. And we had a great time talking about all things Survivor 42. People seem to really enjoy hearing from Gandia as much as I did. Gandia talked about how she could see herself as the host of Survivor one day. And we talked that through of what that would look like. Here's just a little glimpse into how amazing it would be if Gandia Johnson became the host of Survivor from March 27th, 2022, on the week 3 feedback show. Tell me about your dream where you were hosting Survivor.
So the dream was at the end of a show at a finale. And Jeff announced that there, you know, a lot of changes in Survivor. And here's the biggest one. There's a new host. And so they invited me to the finale, but I thought it was on some rap shit.
In the finale, he announced he was stepping down and there was going to be a new host. And did he say it was going to be you, or he just said there was going to be a new host?
And then everybody went crazy.
Wow, that must have been.
But I was there on some rap shit. I was there with you.
With me?
Frank. Oh, wow. All of us were there. Chappelle was there. Chappelle, now I sound like
this, Chappelle was there.
This sounds like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And you were there, Chappelle. And you were there.
So wow, this must have been very humbling for Jeff to announce that he is stepping down. The beloved host of Survivor is stepping down, and that Gandia is replacing him, only to be met with thunderous applause.
Yeah. Crowd goes crazy. Internet broke him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was Chappelle doing?
Chappelle was crying.
Yeah. Did he know? Did he know that this was announcement was coming?
Mouth was just like, you kept going, did you know? Why did you tell me? I'm like, I didn't know, but I was lying because we did talk about it. We had to have, you don't just make that announcement just out the blue.
Yeah. But you told me and I just didn't remember.
No, I did not tell you.
But you could.
I did not tell you.
You could tell me something.
I could have told you.
You could tell me.
No, fuck no, I can't tell you something like that. Why?
You think I would? You think I would blab?
If they don't make me the host and they say don't say shit, I can't tell you. I would low key tell you. Mm-hmm. I would do sign language. I'd be like,
mm-hmm. I could, you know, walk you through like some, you know, do's and don'ts. Yeah.
And then the next part of the dream, before I woke up, I was actually hosting the show. And I remember I just felt so like bursty, like I can't believe this. Hey, this is like a dream come true.
A great actress. Do you think that you could, from what you remember, and maybe could you give us the opening of Survivor 43 with you as the host?
Like right now, like all of the words?
I mean, it doesn't have to be right now. Maybe in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I could. Okay. Yes. I could totally do the opening.
Yeah.
But it would be my own version.
Yeah, of course. You have to, you know, if we wanted a Jeff impersonator, we've got to find those all over the place.
No, first of all, Jeff impersonates me because I have the dimples.
Mm-hmm.
You dig?
Yeah.
Right. His are really deep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally do the opening. How many castaways are there?
Probably
26.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a lot.
How do you start?
I'd say it's 20 people.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do it right now. Okay. I can feel the juice.
Okay. All right. What do you need me to set the scene?
Yes. Anything? Yeah. 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 You got some music. Okay. Give me some music.
Well, what kind of music do you want?
I want something. I want something kind of like survivory, but with a little hip hopery.
Survivory with a little hip hoppery. Boy, that's tough on the spot, Gandia.
All right, let's just do a Survivor. Let's just do a Survivor song.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna knock this out.
Okay. And again, I don't want to get a copyright strike on YouTube, but
there you go. 20 castaways competing live, life or death, win or lose. People from all over the world come here to experience this journey on Survivor to become number one. Now, come with me as we find out who is the ultimate survivor. Cue music.
Wow. Oh my God. I got chills, Gandia.
Chills went down my legs. I am not lying to you.
Yes.
Wow. I did that 100% to camera.
Yeah. And that was one take.
Did you like it?
That was one take. I did
one
like
take.
That.
Yeah?
I did like that. How would you be at the tribal councils?
Oh, I'm keeping it real. I'm kind of a little bit of, you know, what Gandia does. A little bit of the dozens. I'm going to make the contestants laugh. I'm going to ask tough questions. If I see weird ass body language, I'm going to call that shit out. You know, if someone says something, you know, really out of pocket, I'm going to say, you're just going to let him say that to you right now in tribal. You're going to let him say that you didn't do shit at the, I can't curse. You're just going to let him say that you didn't do anything at tribal. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. You're going to let him go. That's me. I feel like a little bit of the instigator, a little bit of the,
you would stir the pot.
A little bit funny, make it, you know, funnier, but I'm not talking too much, at the tribals.
Could you do?
You have to be able to interject, but not too much.
Yeah. What about at the challenges? Would you not talk that much because you said you don't like that?
I would talk I would talk, mm-hmm. but it would be in line with what they're doing. It would be funny. It would be good. Mm-hmm. It would not be annoying.
Yeah.
It would be enjoyable. I might be just slightly annoying, but you still like it.
Mm-hmm. Agandia was killing it on the Survivor recap, and she's going to be on with us to talk 90 Day Fiance this week when we get to part one of the finale. So be on the lookout for that this Monday night. Very excited. Yeah. Agandia could be on all the podcasts.
She was coming out with a couple of her takes at the end of the feedback show. I think that was just a little preview. Mm-hmm.
A little preview.
You and Cleo have a great time. I'm excited to see where Gandia falls on the power rankings. I want to see
what she thinks of Barry
versus yours.
I don't know. She might make fun of us for having 90 Day Fiance power rankings, but you know, Gandia on more podcasts in 2022. Please
sign me up.
Please. Okay. Sam, I have one more Survivor clip for you here from the month of March. And this goes back to last week when we had a special crossover edition when we had two of our top strategic minds get together. And that would be the host of our international Survivor coverage here on RHAP. That would be Shannon Gus and our chief Big Brother correspondent, Taryn Armstrong, who each week hosts the Survivor Stockwatch podcast. They got together for a crossover edition, the perhaps greatest crossover event in the history of media, Sam.
I know. It's really exciting, really great podcast, getting two great minds of reality TV talking about Survivor in a very strategy-heavy week. So it worked out really
well. It was the perfect week to do it. And here are Shannon and Taryn talking about should, potentially, Daniel and Chanel. Was there a mistake in not getting High and Lydia to target Mike?
Yeah, and what's super interesting about this too, right, is that Chanel and Daniel did get kind of unlucky here as well, because if the split had been reversed, if Lydia had been putting votes on Mike and High was supposed to vote Jenny.
Yeah.
That means if High flips to Mike on the revote, they don't have the numbers anymore, because Mike already couldn't vote, which means Jenny keeps her vote and they would have the majority. Lydia would leave. So just by random, 50-50 chance of the women happen to be voting for Jenny, the men happen to be voting for the guys, that ended up sinking the ship because obviously, High is flipping his vote this sort of seemingly randomly during tribal, not prepping ahead of time with Lydia, which means that if he had been flipping to Mike, it would have been an entirely different story.
Yeah, I mean, last season, when I found out that extra votes carry on the revote, which for a bunch of different reasons and confirmation bias and international precedents, I did not believe was true. But when I found that out, I was like, okay, revote target strategy is important. And I maintained that it was, and I don't know if anyone was interested in it, but I maintained that it was true. For example, if you like have an extra, if someone has an extra vote, you want to vote for them, because as a target, then they can't vote on the revote. If you're stealing a vote from someone, you obviously don't want to vote for them, because then your vote still won't carry and you can't use it on the revote. And I was like, this is important. And it's very important for the fact that it was Mike who didn't get voted for and it was Jenny, because Mike would have lost his vote twice on the revote. So it would have been, he loses it for Beware and he loses it for being the target, instead of covering both Mike and Jenny then losing their vote. And it would have meant that Daniel, Chanel, Mike and Jenny could have won on the revote, because Jenny would have been voting and Mike would have just been double covered. But I don't think that this is bad luck. It is bad luck in the way that you're phrasing it, but they could have weaponized it. And that's why when I talk about some other cute little plans that they could have had if they didn't just go with the High and Lydia thing, you go to High and Lydia. You tell them Mike is one phrase from having an idol. As we've said, if they're flipping to High and Lydia genuinely, Mike actually is the better target. So like 80% of this plan is genuine. That's why it's so brilliant. If you're actually flipping to them, Mike should be the target. So you go to them with that information. It's not so shady that you know it, because you're such obvious swings. Like, we're voting for Mike. Then you can go with High and Lydia if you want, or you can just flip back and on the revote. Yeah. I hope that people understand it. Basically, yeah. So on the revote, Jenny would still vote. That's the important thing. It wouldn't just be the one-to-one. Daniel's still voting, High's voting, but Jenny is still voting because she hasn't been covered as a target.
Yes.
Mike has been double covered. So that's how you're numerically protected.
Yeah. The people that are voted for, lose yeah. their vote. They are no longer voting mm-hmm. because it's assumed they're just going to be voting for each other. But obviously when one of them doesn't have a vote already, that means that, you can't, you can't have negative votes. Yeah. So instead of Jenny losing her vote because she's one of the people voted for, she still has her vote. And instead of it being two votes locked, Daniel and High, it's Daniel, Jenny and High. And they can outnumber, High 2-1. And what I talked about where like, okay, the random situation where if Lydia had been voting for Mike and High had flipped over to Mike, then lo and behold, they would have had them outnumbered. They could have, what you're saying is they could have intentionally planned for that as well. They could have said, you know what? We think Mike is the better target. We think he, like, you know,
doesn't have an idol. Like, literally does have an idol.
Like they can say he does have an idol, or they can say, like, we just think he's the better play. Maybe they say we think Jenny has the idol, so we think we have to vote for Mike just in case.
Anytime Shannon and Taryn get together, you know that you are going to get a little bit smarter when it comes to the gameplay about these shows. And of course, you can hear them every single week. Shannon somehow is still covering Australian Survivor. It's still going on. You could hear double doses of Shannon Gus in the Survivor Global podcast feed covering U.S. Survivor as well. And then, of course, listen to Taryn, who's also pulling double duty covering an international season and also Survivor 41, of course, every week on the Survivor Stockwatch. Now, we've talked through the Survivor in March, but there's also something that's kind of Survivor adjacent. And that is, in case people are not watching, a little show called Beyond the Edge. And of course, Sam knows all about it. He's a huge edger.
Love the show so much. Greatest show of all time.
Every week. And so I'm having a lot of fun with Jenny Autumn. We had been podcasting about Joe Millionaire every single Thursday. And Joe Millionaire came to an end. And I said, Jenny, we can't wrap this up yet. We need to continue to podcast. How about Beyond the Edge? And we're out there talking about what's going on Beyond the Edge. And after a couple of weeks, a couple of episodes, basically one night in the jungle, it was too much for a man who has been known to walk off a reality show or two and walked right off of the court of Beyond the Edge in Meta World Peace. So here's myself, Jenny Autumn, and Jason Reed talking about a Beyond the Edge from March 25th, 2022.
I mean, does Chappelle want to quit the Ravens more than Meta World Peace wants to quit any reality show he goes
Literally anything. I can't wait till next season on The Masked Singer when he's on the stage, he's singing. Then all of a sudden, he rips the mask off his head, says he can't do it anymore. He misses his family. He's probably backstage waiting for him at that moment. Yeah, they're waiting for him backstage. I can't do it. I miss my family too much. I got to leave.
Yes.
And his family is like, please, like, just do something to completion.
His family is so pissed that he came home from Beyond the Edge. They're like, what are you doing here? It was 2 days. You had such a good time without you. Why did you do this? You couldn't know someone better?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one night in the hotel and then one night in the jungle.
Well, you know, his wife sat there and like looked at the caller ID on her phone.
You kidding me?
Oh, God, not this. I hope he got ate by a jungle dog or something. Starting the show.
Yeah. This is wild because they really promoted Meta World Peace as the star of the show. And here he is on the second night. Does not make it through.
Rob, this is what they want, right? They want people to quit.
Exactly.
But like, maybe not on day two. Maybe not on day two. But they knew, they casted him knowing Meta's going to quit. We're going to get our money's worth with somebody.
Oh, quitting. This is smart, Jason. So you think it's like, hey, this show is all about how tough it is. We need somebody who's going to quit to show the audience how Meta's tough it is. Oh, you know who's good? Meta World Peace.
Yeah, that guy is a quitter. That's what he's known for. Now, I give props to Meta. I probably would have been like the 10th celebrity that, you know, didn't even get on the bus.
Yeah, somebody quit before the show.
That was like, was in the hotel. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. That, you know, Meta made it 2 days longer than the 10th mystery celebrity. It was probably like Mark McGrath or something. You know, who.
Yeah, we think it's a woman. I think it would have been,
didn't pass COVID protocol or
something. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
thing, though. There's got to be people that, like, that didn't watch Celebrity Big Brother and don't know the, you know, the lore of Meta World Peace quitting reality TV shows. I still don't even know if he got through the entirety of the Celebrity Exorcist.
And of course, you could check out Beyond the Edge every week with myself and Jenny Autumn. And in our Beyond the Edge podcast feed, robinswebsite.com/BTE feed, where you may also get to hear about a celebrity exorcism with Meta World Peace and Jody Sweetin, with myself and Jenny and Chappelle, coming soon.
Can't wait. Let's Can't wait make for it that. Happen.
You know what else is coming soon? When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking Love is Blind, The Masked Singer, Temptation Island, and more when we come back on our monthly wrap up for March.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
All right, welcome back. We have some Big Brother Canada to talk about here in March. Of course, Big Brother Canada came in at this beginning of March, and it was on March 2nd. Sam, we were still licking our wounds from Celebrity Big Brother. And
have you recovered yet at the end of March?
I'm still recovering. And so we premiered our Big Brother Canada 10 coverage of the recap episodes of the premiere when it was myself and Taryn Armstrong and Chappelle and Melissa Denny. And Big Brother Canada 10, of course, Big Brother, all seasons of Big Brother Canada 10. There's so much attention to the look and the feel of the house. And Melissa was actually really taken aback with the great outfits they had on Big Brother Canada, which she felt like was a stark contrast from some of the stunts they did during Celebrity Big Brother. And there happened to be, Sam, one thing in particular from Celebrity Big Brother that Melissa still had not been able to get off her chest. And so we talked it through here during the premiere coverage, some news that was surprising to Chappelle, who was not on that podcast coverage either, who might have missed an episode of Celebrity Big Brother. And so it made for a very interesting conversation from premiere night from Big Brother Canada 10 back on March 2nd, 2022.
I like that they kept them safe. That's totally fine with me. And you know, not only were the competitions interesting, but the clothes were so fun. It wasn't, they didn't.
Did you like the clothes?
I'm telling you, they didn't make them look stupid. Like, I hate the ones where in the Big Brother US, where they just make them look just so bad and dumb, like that stupid bobsled thing. I feel like you guys didn't talk enough about the fact that it was so unflattering, and it looked like they had drawn nipples onto their breast area, like and like a bra, and on the men, and then they had them sit on a guy's face. It was horrific. I feel like you guys said it was not great, but nobody said it was absolutely horrific.
I tried to lead the panel to it, Melissa, and nobody took the bait, and I didn't want to talk about sitting on some guy's face.
Yeah,
look, I was sitting there being like, "This is wrong. Rob is right. Someone needs to say something," and everyone was just like,
Look, Melissa, not everyone has your courage to talk about people sitting on people's faces and nipples and all of that.
It was too much. It was so unflattering. You do not need to, number one, put them in the skimpiest little outfits. And number two, Rob is right. That is not how you bobsled or whatever. They don't like sit on each other's faces.
It's not how you do it.
It's not how you do it. And the fact that they made them do that and they had them like pumping like this, it was just so beyond bad. And anyway, I digress. This is not what we're supposed to be talking about, but I'm just saying that, like, the fashion on Big Brother
Todd
Canada,
Bridges was with you.
Well, yeah, poor Todd Bridges in that one. Oh, geez. The fashion in this one was fun. It was clever. It was stylish. It was 70s. Maybe they wouldn't necessarily wear this, like, out and about some of them. Some of the outfits were kind of out there, but for the most part, they looked really cool. Like, I just loved it. So that is what I'm into. I do not like where they just purposely make them look stupid so we can like laugh at them. It's like, that's not fun for me. So I just loved it.
Anyway. Baby, I guess I was too hard on Celebrity Big Brother because I stopped watching that. So I didn't even know this happened. This is all new information.
You don't watch it.
I would have tapped back in had I known there was face riding. Like, I didn't know. I said, oh, this is what we doing? Because I was like,
them sit on their face.
I watched a couple weeks and then, you know, Todrick started tripping and all my faves started going out. I was like, you know what? I just listen to the podcast. There's many podcasts that I listen to. Ain't nobody say nothing about no face sitting. Ain't not one person. I seen a Todd Bridges clip. He looked like a golden.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. That's it. Nobody said we face riding. And
yeah, imagine that telephone sitting on someone's face and moving back and forth like this. It was so.
Whose face were they sitting on? Tell me more. Excuse me?
A box letter.
A random bobsledder? Like, do you volunteer as tribute? Like, how do you, like, if you're a bobsledder, do you be like, I got some free time? Like, the Olympics is going on right now. What did I mean?
I don't know. Lolo Jones was not involved.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wait, well, it was bad.
Okay, hold on, because this, no, I need to rewind the tape. Maybe y'all was too hard on Big Brother Celebrity. I feel like I was out of the loop. As many update accounts as I follow, nobody said face riding. Melissa comes in, the voice of the correct people, and tells me the things that I be wanting to hear.
It was being buried. No one was talking about it.
Buried him.
I tried.
Bury your face in it. That's what they was doing. They buried their faces in it, and nobody told me.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Mm-hmm. Rob, I thought we were friends.
Rob tried.
I tried.
He brought it up. He said, hey, you, I don't think that's how you write it.
All right. That's enough of the... Rob could have said it.
Rob should have said it. You should have said it.
Rob was trying to dance around it. No one was willing to just outright
family podcast, Chappelle.
It's a family show. If they don't have... And look, our job as journalists is to report the news. If there's face riding, we have to talk about it.
You have to report the news as you see it.
Yeah,
so that's why we tune in to the live feed update because Taryn's gonna give us the facts.
Yeah,
you need to say the facts. Right.
Look, if it had been on the feeds, it would have been on the update.
Taryn would have talked about it. Taryn and Jacob Jones would have gone face first into these face riding. Yeah,
Jacob Jones would have demonstrated techniques. It would have been great.
A perfect.
It would have been like, this is what a cat would do to me.
Put the competitions back on the live feeds. This is it. This is the final straw. We need them on there.
Yeah. They're trying to hide from us the face riding, and we can't have that.
Don't hide that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's incredible. How? Wow. Yeah, thank you, Melissa.
This is the discussion that needed to happen, and I'm so glad it's finally out there.
Sam, what a moment.
It was a lot. Chappelle, I love when Chappelle learns things on the podcast.
Yes. Okay. All right. Never miss an episode. So on Big Brother Canada, we also got to see a great moment that happened when our friends, Ika, it's hard for me to say Ika because now I've sort of had to train myself to say Ika. Now, Ika, of course, we like Ika and we have had for many years back from, 9 years ago when she was on Big Brother Canada 2, of course, had a great love story with Demetrius back in Big Brother Canada 5. And they had a great moment on Big Brother Canada 10, where we saw during one of the eviction episodes where Demetrius got to propose to Ika back in the spot where they first fell in love. And so there was coverage of this wonderful event back on March 10th, 2022, when Taryn Armstrong was joined by Melissa Denny, Genevieve Guadalupe, and Mike Bloom to recap the week 2 eviction of Big Brother Canada 10.
And also with me tonight is a man who is losing his mind over here. I was expecting him to show up with alien nipples, but that has not happened. It's Mike Bloom. How you doing, Mike?
Wait just until we get to the spoiler section, Taryn. But actually, if we could just get serious for a second, I do have something I want to do. Taryn, I've been listening to your updates for years. This is where we met on this podcast. I want you in my ears every day.
Oh my God.
For the rest of my life. Taryn, will you be my podcast husband?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes, of course, Mike.
Yay!
Now, this is fantastic because Geneva and Melissa are playing the role of the BB Can 10 house guests. They're little like faces in the corner.
Well, I should have just been like, I should have just been like.
I should have pulled Mike up on the screen.
Yeah. I just have everyone reacting. Like... You hear that, internet? I got to him first, okay? He's mine.
Yeah, you're all right. Be a lot of haters for that. Whew.
Man, what a historic moment on the RHAP podcast. So glad we got that in.
Sam, this is an easy transition because we are talking about love and weddings and proposals. And of course, that's what it's all about over on Love is Blind. Came back for season two. We had a great coverage in our Love at First Sight podcast feed with Asia Welch and Mary Krakowski, recapping all of Love is Blind. And there was a wild finale, reunion show from Love is Blind, which is still making headlines. And of course, one person in particular garnered a lot of attention. That was Shake. And there was a lot to talk about with Shake from the reunion show of Love is Blind. Here is Asia, Mary, and special guest Brian Scally talking about the man at the center of the Love is Blind finale reunion.
He's explaining that how he should have been on a different show. He's explaining how this was not the right thing, but thinking, no, but I want to have the emotional connection. So this should be the show that's right for me. But I was so glad that Vanessa called that out because yeah, you know, this isn't too hot to handle. Like what are you doing? But then they transition there or they continue on. And this is where Shake explains, look, I find every woman in here beautiful, but the only one that I'm attracted to is Vanessa. What? Vanessa, the woman who just told you that all you wanted to do was find somebody to have sex with. And she said it in a very different way, but she was being very frank. She's like, look, that's all you wanted to do. And he says, how did Nick not just jump up and do something?
I love the fact that this is a show, and I know it's a Netflix show, so they don't have to worry about like language or anything like that. I love that this is a show where the host felt comfortable just like going off on one of the contestants. Like that was great. I don't know. I mean, Nick is going to immediately follow this up by telling Shake that, that he's basically talking about humans like they're animals.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I think what Shake wanted was Love is Blind, where he happened to also find someone who he was incredibly attracted to.
Yeah.
And if you want to get mad at Shayna for leading Kyle on, you've got to throw the exact same thing at Shake. But there is still a tiny part of me that feels like I think Shake would have married Deep D if she said yes. Like, I think that he would be okay with it. I think that that was not the breaking point. It was just the horrible way that he talked about her and like got there.
Yes.
He didn't realize that it was going to have an effect on her and her opinion.
This, for me, there's so many parts to break down. Where, like, when he's like, they're all beautiful, but I'm not attracted to them. I like, and then he says, I'm only attracted to Vanessa. And then I, like Shane, fell out of my chair. And was just, like, I could not believe it. Nick follows it up with the vet joke, and then Shake is like, oh, the vet community is going to be very upset with you, Nick Lachey. I was like, every community is upset with you, Shake. Like, what to speak? You have offended everyone.
The vet community is tweeting out, we do not own Shake. He is not a part of us.
We disavow Shake. Yes. It is. We are not going to stand by him. Yes.
I don't know that man. I've never seen that man.
Yeah, it was a really fun season of A Love is Blind, and Asia and Mary will soon be back to talk about another show from the creators of Love is Blind, where people are going to be tempted, just like people are tempted each and every week over on Temptation Island, which is back in our Hot Dummies on Island podcast feed, as Kirsten and Maggie Morgan are back to talk about what's going on over on Temptation Island. And they kicked off with premiere coverage of the first episode of Temptation Island. And Maggie and Kirsten were talking about a woman who said that she was going to be she made a new friend on Temptation Island. And they discussed whether or not Temptation Island is a place where you go to meet new friends, from the premiere recap of Temptation Island back on March 23rd. 2022.
My prediction is that they're both going to cheat on each other.
Oh, and I know they are, because both of them are like, oh yeah, I already met someone who's cool, like, as a friend. Stop it. No, you didn't. You didn't make a friend. Get out of here.
They both willingly said to each other, I met a new friend who is cool. A friend on Temptation Island. It's like someone's like, how did you meet your best friend? Like, oh, on the show Temptation Island, where they were trying to have sex with me the whole season. And then we just became best friends. That was all. Like,
the only friendships being born on Temptation Island is, I'm assuming that these four women are hopefully going to be friends, because I like that. Yeah. And then, like, maybe some other women in the other side will become friends. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I I think that already it's just like a mess, because both of them, when they were talking about like their rules, they were both like, well, there's no reason anything should go further than a kiss. But it's like, okay, so you're saying you're allowed to kiss, but then what if you're making out? Is somebody going to get mad and then be like, well, screw them? What if there's groping? What if they're like, to say you're allowed to kiss, like, I think it only snowballs from there. I have a feeling that they're not going to last long. I will be shocked if they leave the island together, just because, like, to be 21 and 23 on this reality show, like, you know, there's no way.
So, Maggie, what you're saying is that kissing is the gateway affection.
Of course, you can check out Temptation Island every week, at least the recap, on our Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed to hear more from Kirsten and Maggie. The Masked Singer is also back this month, Sam. March was huge for reality TV premieres. Puya and Liana are back to cover The Good, The Bad, and The What? Sam, do you know?
The Cuddly.
Cuddly.
The Cuddly. You wouldn't know? Come on, Rob. This is a television history-making event here.
Sure.
Masked Singer season 7, I think.
And of course, our Masked Singer experts, Puya Zambakili and Liana Boris, we're back to break down everything that is going on, both with the singers and also with the props that get used on The Masked Singer. Here is Liana trying to help Puya out. Of course, Liana is from science, and of course, she's able to help Puya with anything he doesn't understand on The Masked Singer.
Let's just talk about the final performance. AK, this was the third performance in the order. The Ram. Now, the Ram's performance starts with the Ram pointing at Eric Stone Street, and they made a big deal of this. Of like, ooh, Eric Stone Street got a point out. Did you notice that? I noticed that. The best part of this performance for me was the big ass cape that the Ram had attached to them while they were performing. What are your thoughts?
You know what it reminded me of? Did you ever in elementary school play with those big parachutes where you would put the parachute up in the air and then you'd run underneath it?
No. What?
What? It's like a giant parachute. And you would
never
play,
heard of this.
Yeah. And you would play in gym class and everybody would like throw it up in the air. Okay, here, I'm going to share with you what that looks like.
Yeah. Gym class for us predominantly was, yeah, all the good soccer players are going to play soccer and pick all the non-great players and make them feel bad about their skills for an hour and a half.
No, look. Look at the giant parachute with all the kids underneath it. Look how happy they are.
But then what's the point?
What do you mean, what's the point? You're just you're a kid. You play with it. You like run underneath it and you like run on top of it. And you'd like,
is there a game like, ooh, you got to run before it comes down? Or like, is there a theme to it?
Yeah, there's like different There's like different styles of games you can play.
So Liana's showing this to me on her screen, and it's from a website called thisiswhyimbroke.com.
I mean, are they wrong? We need to order one of these.
$149.99. Get your own giant multicolored parachute.
Yeah, it comes in sizes ranging from 6 feet to 30 feet in diameter. So are they all the same price?
But like,
oh, that's the big one.
I still don't get it.
What do you mean you don't get? What is that? What is
so
it
you? So everyone like gathers around and grabs a corner of this parachute, right?
Yeah.
And then you like all raise it and make it wave in the air.
Yeah.
And then what? Like someone goes underneath it and like runs through.
Yeah. Look at these kids. Look at they're running underneath it. Look how happy they are. Look, and they're playing. You know,
maybe I just don't remember how, as kids, we were fascinated by the tiniest things.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's the same
definitely,
thing.
Definitely, like, yeah.
The kids were interested in the box that the toy came in. Look, this one, see this parachute, they put a bunch of balls on top of the parachute and they throw the balls up in the air and then you got to re-catch it with the parachute.
But you will catch it with the parachute.
20 parachute games for kids for giant fun-filled activities.
Okay, go on.
Okay, popcorn game, parachute launch, tug of war.
Tug of war? Tug of war?
Yeah.
How?
This is just tug of war. You just roll the parachute up to be a spin.
Oh, come on.
Okay, that's not the one I was thinking about. See how high you can launch objects up in the air with the parachute.
That seems dangerous.
Yeah, probably is.
What is the mad scientist game?
I don't know. Sounds like something I would play. I feel like this one, parachute tag. Yeah, much like parachute. Okay, so when you call others out. Anyway, whatever. I feel like we're getting into the weeds here, but this is what it reminded me of.
That's fine. What is the mad scientist?
It's just a demonstration of static electricity.
That's not even a game. That's homework.
It's not. Okay. That's rude.
To what? To the game? To the parachute gods?
Games can be educational. It's an insult to games. Just because a game is educational doesn't mean it's homework.
You sound like you were a lot of fun as a kid.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
They brought out like...
I'm like the kid who was like organizing stuff was fun. Yeah,
they brought out a soccer ball. Liana's like, but what's the educational value on this? Is there, you're like the person asking for the nutritional value. What's the educational purpose of this game we're going to play?
Well, it's to learn physical education is education.
Why are you trying to convince me? Like, I know what PE stands for.
Kinesthetic learning. So this is a learning style. It's a kinesthetic learning style. It's where you engage in physical activities within the classroom. It's because you're physically moving.
See, Matt Singer, do you see what you do when you don't give us a clue package? I'm being told off for not liking the giant parachute game.
Yeah, how dare you not experience that as a child?
Yeah, listen, my school didn't have a budget for a $150 parachute.
Yeah, we were the privileged kids of our parachute.
Can we play the parachute game?
Mm-hmm. Dude, it was like a cool day when the parachute came out, I'm just saying.
Are you what do you mean like pizza day cool? Like what is that? What level of cool? Well, no,
it wasn't like we're watching a TV or like a movie in class day when they would roll out the cart with the TV on it. But
those days were elite.
Yeah, those were iconic.
I'm going to leave it up to your imagination how we can segue from The Masked Singer's new season to talking about true crime, Sam. But we have a brand new true crime podcast here on RHAP, and Sarah Carradine and Mari Forth are the new hosts of Crime Scene, a podcast that recaps and reviews different true crime properties for fans of these genres who want to get a sense of what should we be watching or checking out. And if you're wondering why true crime, why is true crime so popular with so many listeners? In episode 2 of the Crime Scene podcast, the guest on with Mari and Sarah, Sarah D. Bunting, came on to talk about why true crime resonates with so many listeners.
We have so few serial killers here in Australia. Well, so few that have actually been captured. So we sort of know their names by rote. I myself was almost run off the road, and who knows what would have happened by one of our other famous serial killers, Ivan Milat. And that might be a story for another day.
What was his nickname? Did he have a nickname like a wolf or a slasher or something? That sounds very familiar to me.
The film Wolf Creek kind of draws on
that's what his activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Wolf Creek,
that's what it was.
Yeah. Set in the outback more. Ivan Milat was a truck driver, and he prowled up and down the south coast of New South Wales. He was particularly clever, disgusting, I don't know how you would say it, but he used to get pairs of people, often women, but not always women. And as a young sort of 21-year-old, me and my friend Alison, shout out Alison, were driving in what turned out to be his happy hunting ground at around the time of his happy hunting. And we had a extremely scary, actually I'm getting quite thinking about it, we had an extremely scary kind of 20-minute duel between a truck and my tiny little secondhand Fiat sports coupe.
Oh, my God.
And
it kind of makes you think it's like run-ins like that. And it's like, what makes us drawn to true crime as like, you know, listeners, watchers, viewers, especially for us, you know, starting a new true crime podcast. There's a million out there, really a million good ones too. Why do you think there's like there's always been a fascination with true crime? What do you think, Sarah?
Well, I have a bunch of grand unifying theories about this that are way above my bachelor's in creative writing. But you asked me on this podcast, you probably won't do it again.
Yes, I did.
But here's one of them, which relates to other Sarah's story, which is that I think that for a lot of consumers of true crime, there is a feeling that knowledge is power, and that if you can just consume a high enough volume in whatever subgenre, whether it's con artists or serial killers or what have you, that you will be able to spot this evil, and it will not be chaotic evil, and you will be able to avoid it. Of course, when it comes to psychopaths or really con artists, like, because we aren't those things, I assume that it's hard to sort of know the dark heart of someone like that, because it's completely alien to your own experience of actually caring about other people. But I do think that false, or maybe it's not false, but like that illusion of control, which is mostly an illusion.
Yeah, security. Yeah,
I think is a big part of it. And also just, you know, rubbernecking, like, let's face it, I'm not above that, honestly.
You can subscribe to the brand new Crime Scene podcast feed. Go to robinswebsite.com/crimefeed to get the new weekly episodes dropping on Tuesday of Crime Scene with Mari and Sarah. We also this month got to talk to Mari and Sarah over on Nothing But Netflix. We talked about Bad Vegan. But on Nothing But Netflix, I have a different clip for you right now where we talked about another movie that changed my life, frankly, when I got to learn about the comings and goings of a woman named Medea when we watched Medea's Homecoming with myself and Chappelle on the Nothing But Netflix podcast with special guest AJ Norris. And this movie is a wild ride. And we learned about what was happening with this coming.
You learned a lot.
I learned a lot about the Medea cinematic universe here. And here is a clip of me finding out what really was going on in Medea's Homecoming back on March 4th, 2022.
So, like, at what point in the film do we realize that no, Davi is not only Tim's roommate, but
everybody sit down. Sit down, everybody. Because my mind was blown.
Yeah. So So throughout the film, they're heavily implying that Tim and his roommate are in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when Tim brings up his dad is coming, Davi is so protective. Like, I can't believe he would do you and your mom like that. And then when the dad shows up, Davi doesn't shake his hand. At some point, Davi just starts blurting out random, like heckling the dad for no, like almost for no reason. And then you're like, why are you so upset about this? Like, I was saying. And then finally we find out that, oh no, Davi is not dating Tim. He's dating Tim's mom behind Tim's back. What is going on?
Yeah.
This man is 26 years old.
Yeah.
Dating his 23-year-old roommate's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Behind his back, like secretly.
Yeah.
Listen. The funniest part of this entire movie is when Madea said, so you live with this man. And at no point did you ever pick up that something was going on between him and your mama. He's like, no, I mean, he talked about her a lot. She said he talked about your mama a lot. Like a grown man talked about your mama at school to you a lot. And you didn't see nothing wrong with that? He's like, no. She said, and you going to law school, baby? don't try any criminal trials anytime soon. You just need to take it slow, baby. Because how does somebody get this past you for two whole years?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, this is such a plot twist.
Listen, you know Tim wanted Davi for himself. Like, that's the whole sole reason. He was like, one day me and Davi.
So that. Yeah. Well, I really thought that they were implying that there was a relationship there. Did they? I just get faked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a misdirect. Yeah. Because, and like, they're subtle hits, but they're not even that subtle. It's just like the idea that Davi is so upset with this man who he hasn't even met. Like, Tim has basically forgiven his dad.
Yeah.
Everybody else is upset. But Tim and his mom seem to not have any issue with this man. Davi seems like he has a blood feud with him. And you're like, well, why is that? And you come to find out, well, Davi hates him because, you know, they both, you know, well, he used to date Davi's current girlfriend or used to be married to Davi's current girlfriend and like left her out to dry, you know, disrespected her and Tim and took a lot of stuff in the divorce. Okay, we're like, okay, that makes sense from Davi's point of view. But then we start to look at Tim's mom, Laura, and say, well, why aren't you more mad that this man did you like this? Because we come to find out that Tim's dad is now dating and getting married to Laura's best friend, Sylvia. Mm-hmm. Rob, what the hell is going on?
And not only that, Sylvia was her divorce lawyer and kind of did her dirty in the divorce because she was hooking up with the guy who was cheating on her. And then she said, oh, let me do your divorce. And then she said, oh, I can't get you any better deal. And then she's with this man.
She said, I'm getting everything I can out of this divorce.
Yeah. So Laura's going home every night crying about her divorce.
This was like the Tinder swindler.
Yeah. Like, Sylvia's the inside man. She's like, oh, yeah, girl. Like, oh, yeah, he's a dog. He doing you so wrong. Meanwhile, she's like, yeah, in the divorce, you ain't getting nothing. I'm trying my best. And
He's good. He's good. Yeah.
This lawyer, I just can't figure him out. Like, how does he keep getting away with this?
Oh, my God.
A critically acclaimed episode of the Nothing But Netflix podcast. Of course, you can subscribe to hear Chappelle and I break down whatever's hot on Netflix every single week at robinswebsite.com/Netflix feed. Okay, Sam, one more clip. This one comes to us from the patron 5 for 5. If you are not a patron of Robin's podcast, a little bit of a peek behind the patron paywall to see what's going on. And on Robin and Keeping the Podcast this month, I invented a game called Hurdle, where we were calling up listeners and I was a few different women answered the phone and I tried to guess their name by them telling me how many letters were in their name. And I was trying to guess based on the green and the yellow letters. People said, wow, what a discovery that the New York Times should buy this and give you $1 million for a Hurdle. And so I tried to share this great news with my wife, the first lady of podcasting. And let's just say it didn't go great. Here is Nicole being told about the brand new game Hurdle on the Patreon 5 for 5 back on March 20th, 2022. So this is from Stephanie Haber. Play a round of Hurdle. Okay. Nicole, can you think of a woman's name? Just any woman's name.
Barbara.
You're not supposed to tell me. Oh. Think of another one.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. It's not a Mad Lib.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me think.
Okay.
This is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So how many letters is in the woman's name?
Well, it could be spelled a few ways.
Well, the way that you're thinking of. Okay.
Five.
Okay. All right.
I think.
All right. Is it Rosie?
No.
Okay. What are the green letters and what are the yellow letters?
What the hell are you talking about?
Have you ever heard of Wordle?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what you're talking about.
So a green letter is if any of the letters are in the right place.
I don't want to play this game.
Really, I'm playing it.
I have no idea. I don't know.
And the yellow letters are letters that are in the name but not in the right position. Are any of the letters R-O-S-I-E?
What?
Are you talking
about? What? From it's Rosie? Hurdle.
Yeah. Are any of the letters that are in...
No.
So zero letters.
Well, it depends how you spell it.
Okay. Well, how are you spelling it?
No.
Okay. So nothing from Rosie is in here.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Hold on. Yes. One.
Okay. Which letter?
The last one.
The E.
Rosie ends with an E?
R-O-S-I-E. How do you think it was spelled? R-O-S-E-Y?
Yeah.
I'm spelling it R-O-S-I-E.
Okay, fine. That's how you spell it.
Okay, but I'm...
So then no!
So, but isn't there still... Didn't you just say the E was in it?
But it's not anymore.
It's not... What do you mean it's not anymore?
It's not.
You said it was.
It's not.
So R-O-S-I-E, none of those letters are in your five-letter woman's name.
In the order, or just...
At all!
At all!
How is this difficult?
I am a visual person.
Do you want to write the name down on a piece of paper?
Hold on. Let me think. I don't want to play this anymore.
Okay. All right. Sorry. What was the name?
I forgot.
You forgot? Come for real?
Tracy.
T-R-A-C-Y. So there would be... The R was in the...
I thought it was in order.
Oh boy. Where have you been in the last 2 months?
I have not even looked at how to play Wordle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I've already explained to you.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I
did. I wasn't listening.
There you go, Sam. And that's the best of March.
We did it.
Thank you to our listeners who gave us the clips to use here in the best of episode. You can send your clips in robisawebsite.com/best of. So thank you to the listeners who submitted the clips that they wanted to hear on the show. Thank you to the podcasters as well who told us which clips from their episodes we should be using, because that really did help us with trying to track down the clips that ultimately made it into the show that Sam pulled for this episode of the Best of March on the Monthly Wrap Up.
Yeah, and keep doing that. That's how we gather these clips.
And it's going to be a huge April, and it's a great time to become a patron at Rob's Podcast. Of course, we have everything going on with the Survivor Academy, really fun season of Survivor. We are learning lessons every week that we are distilling for our future Survivor players out there. robswebsite.com/patron, plus Patron 5 for 5, access to our patron community on Facebook and Discord, and much more for the patrons of Rob's Podcast, plus easy access to Big Brother Canada, Australian Survivor, and the international reality TV shows at robswebsite.com/patron. Sam, anything else you want to share today?
I think that's about it. That was
Sam, what's coming up for you? What are your plugs?
My plugs are, I'll continue talking to you for the next month, Rob.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to me, especially people that check out all of this additional content that we drop. So hope you enjoyed the edition of the monthly wrap up. Love to get your feedback. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sesternino. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.